What we're doing this morning, if you look to your sermon notes, we're beginning this new sermon series called Living Biblically, okay? Living Biblically. So where did I get the idea for this sermon series? Some people know because you probably watch TV, but a couple weeks ago I was watching probably March Madness. I'm not sure what it was. I'm sure it was a sporting event. That basically limits my TV watching. But anyway, I was watching a sporting event and I saw this commercial called Living Biblically. And by the way, when I first saw that commercial, I want to let you know, my first instinct was, oh no, this is not going to be good. So my first thought was, I'm sure this is going to be a show. They're going to rip on Christians. They're going to make fun of Christians. They're going to make fun of the Bible. But I was actually mistaken because I sat down with a family member and I said, hey, have you heard of this show? And he said, oh yeah, actually it's a pretty decent show. And really the whole show is centered around this one guy named Chip. And Chip is a guy that just recently lost his best friend to death. And he also found out that his wife was pregnant. So he was kind of at the crossroads of life where he thought, you know what, I need to really get serious about living life better. I need to get serious about living a more moral life. So he got this idea, I know what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick up the Bible and I'm going to read it. And whatever the Bible tells me to do, I'm going to live it out. That's the whole premise of the show, Living Biblically. So I've watched little pieces of it twice. The first week I watched it, he talked about the whole commandment was, the whole thought was based around honor your father and your mother. And it was actually kind of good. He had a father that was not really a great father, but he said, I'm going to live biblically and I'm going to honor my dad. So that's how it worked out. This week, I watched about 10 minutes before I fell asleep. How many people are like me when you sit down, lights out, okay? It's been such a long day. So when you sit down, you just, oh, okay. And Heather will say, hey, how'd you like that show when I finally wake up? Well, anyway, this week it was all centered around the thought of the commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness, meaning thou shalt not lie. So he tried to go through his days without telling a lie. How many people know that can be very challenging? So when his boss would ask him a question, he said, okay, I got to tell the truth. And so it was rocking people's world by telling the truth, okay? Even questions his wife would ask. So I'm not recommending the show. I'm not a big TV watcher. I'm not a promoter of TV watching. But that's kind of where we got the foundation. I thought, wouldn't it be cool if people came to church and people decided, you know what, we want to live biblically. And I'm not going to ask you to raise hands, but how many people here today, it's more than just coming to church on Sunday morning. But really, your heart is this. I want to live a life that's biblical. I want to find out what's in God's word. And not only do I want to read about it, hear about it, but I really want to put God's word into action. Because the Bible says those who do those type of things will be blessed, okay? And so that's the whole premise of this sermon series. I'm not sure how long it will last. Actually, I hope every sermon turns into living biblically. That's the objective here anyway. But we're going to just take a couple weeks to touch on some fun things, some things you might like, some things you might not like. But I guarantee you, it will be good for you because God is good all the time. Amen? So what I want to do today is I want to look at a word, and it's one word we're going to look at, and it's a word that a lot of people have a big, big misunderstanding about. So we're going to bring clarity to a word of misunderstanding. And the word I want to talk about, you see it there because it beat me to the race, and that is we want to look at today's key word is stewardship. So write that down in your notes if you're taking notes. By the way, I hope you're taking notes and you're taking them home and you're praying about them throughout the week and you're making a difference, okay? So we want to talk about stewardship. So let me ask you this question. When you think of stewardship, don't say anything out loud. I want you to keep this private. When you think of stewardship, what's the very first thing that comes to your mind? And I'll take a drink of water while you think about that. What comes to your mind when I say stewardship? I would bet, if I were a gambling man, I would bet that when I said stewardship, a lot of people connected that word one way or another with the word money. Money. Okay? Because we've heard a lot of sermons about stewardship and we related it to a budget. We've heard stories about stewardship or sermons, and it was all about building programs. By the way, how many people, show of hands, have been a part of a church where there was a building program? And they had what? They had a blank campaign. They had a stewardship campaign. So when you hear stewardship a lot, you automatically think about money. But I'm here today to tell you something that I hope makes a major difference in your life, and that is stewardship is a lot more than just about money. I want you to get that this morning. It's much more expansive. It's much bigger, much more all-encumbering. It just covers everything. It's much more than just money. So what is stewardship? What is it? Well, that word stewardship in the Greek New Testament, I'm not going to try to pronounce the word, but it means somebody who manages a household. Someone who manages a household. They're not the owner of the house, but they manage the house. A great example of this in Scripture would be found in the book of Genesis. We're introduced to this guy named Joseph. How many people heard the story of Joseph? His brothers give him a raw deal. He's thrown into a well. He's taken prisoner in Egypt. But when he's in prison in Egypt, God promotes him. And what Joseph does is he becomes the manager of a guy's household. The guy's name is what? Potiphar. Potiphar owns the house. He owns the palace. But what he does is he lets Joseph be the steward. He becomes the manager. He takes care of all the affairs of the house, okay? So that's what a steward is. They manage. Maybe some of you need to hear it this way. I also think of Major League Baseball. Think about this. Every team in MLB has what? They have an owner. The owner is the guy with the deep pockets. The owner is the guy that has bought this team. He's invested in this team. But how many people know an owner does what? They hire a what? Manager. Does the manager own the team? Everybody say, please say no. If you said yes, you missed the first part of the sermon. The manager doesn't own the team, but the owner gives the reins over to the manager to oversee the daily operations of the team. The manager does not own, but he is the manager. He oversees these things. So this is what I want you to see this morning. We're going to be so brief this morning, but we're going to be so good. So the fundamental principle of biblical stewardship, this is what I want you to hear. The fundamental principle of biblical stewardship is that God owns everything. I hope you get that this morning. God owns everything. Can we say that together? God owns everything. God owns everything. Some of you aren't so sure of that yet, but I'm going to go to the Bible because our Bible is the source of what we speak here. Let me share some verses with you. You can write these verses down. By the way, they're in your scripture reference area of your notes. Verses we want to look at. Genesis 1:1 says this, "In the beginning, God created," everybody say created, "He created the heavens and the earth." So as the creator, God has absolute rights of ownership. He has rights of ownership over what? Everything. Here's a great verse to memorize. Psalm 24, verse 1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's," and everybody say that word together, "everything in it, the world and all its people belong to" who? "To God." I love that verse. "The earth is the Lord's, everything in it." We all belong to him. Haggai 2:8. You guys know exactly where Haggai is in the Bible, don't you? It's an Old Testament minor prophet. Haggai 2:8 says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of heavenly armies." What's God saying? He's saying all the riches, all the wealth of the world belongs to me. And you thought it belonged to you. I'm sorry to tell you, it all belongs to God. And I know there's people in this room, because you're a lot like me, you have this argument, say, well, look, I think I did this. I think I made this happen. Well, Deuteronomy 8:18 addresses that issue. It says, "Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful." Some people think, well, I made myself successful. No. God gave you the power to be successful. It all belongs to God. Two more verses. I'm just trying to lay a foundation here. 1 Chronicles 29:12 says this, "Wealth and honor come from you alone. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hands, and at your direction, people are made great and given strength." It's all about God. And I know our culture says it's all about you. But I want to proclaim today, stewardship, biblical stewardship, is the fact that it all belongs to God. One more verse, 1 Corinthians. Here we go, New Testament. Some of you are thinking, well, those were all in the Old Testament. Well, we believe in the entirety of Scripture, by the way. Amen? So 1 Corinthians 19 and 20 says, Paul writing, he says, don't you realize that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. He's talking to Christians. Who lives in you and who was given to you by who? Everybody together. By God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Everything belongs to God, even our body. We don't get to just choose how we do things with our own body. We don't get to choose if it feels good, do it. We're under the ownership of God, okay? He owns everything. And that's what I want you to get this morning in your heart. If you leave with nothing else, I just want you to leave with this, that God owns everything. He owns everything. And that means I'm not the owner. I'm not the owner. Well, God, I thought that was my car. No, don't. It's not your car. God owns everything, okay? We're not. He owns it every. We're the managers. We're simply been giving these things by God to manage them. And here's the objective as believers of Christ. We are to manage these things in a way that is pleasing to God. We're to manage these things in a way that would honor God. It's His stuff. Everything belongs to Him. God, I just want to manage it in a way that would bring glory to You because it's not mine. God, it's all about, when the Bible talks about stewardship, this is what I want to illustrate it for you this morning because I think there's a lot of people in the room that are a lot like me and you're very visual, very, very visual, okay? Like I said at the beginning, when many of us think of stewardship, this is what we think about when we think of stewardship. We think of the offering plate. We think about this is where we put our money because we're going to be good stewards. So when we think of stewardship, oftentimes we think of the offering plate. I want to let you know, if this is your only view of stewardship, you have a very, very small view of what stewardship really is. If you think it's just this, you've missed the boat. Because I want to let you know it's something much bigger than just the offering plate. Because when the Bible talks about stewardship, I think this is the way the Bible looks at stewardship. When the Bible talks about stewardship, it's talking about the big bucket. Not the little bucket. But when the Bible talks about stewardship, it's talking about the big bucket, okay? Meaning everything that I have, not just my money, meaning that everything I have is to go where? Everybody say it together, in the bucket, in the bucket. So I want to let you know that when I say yes, you say yes to Jesus, what we're doing is we're giving it all to God. We're saying, God, not only is it about this, yes, that's partial, but more importantly, when we say yes to God and we say yes to stewardship, what we're doing is we're putting our whole self, I'm getting old, I'm not as flexible as I used to be. Christian stewardship is not this. Christian stewardship is saying, God, You own it all. I'm in the bucket. Everything I have, God, is... How many people know you won't forget this Sunday, will you? Everything I have is Yours. I better be careful here. This might be truly the Sunday you don't forget. And I don't want it to be at my expense, okay? You should have saw, he fell out of the bucket. He broke up his lip. It was great. Anyway, God was moving. Anyway, here we go. Everything, the big bucket, everything. I want you to say that out loud together, everything. Everything includes, let's talk about some of the things that everything includes beside everything. Let's be more specific. Time. How many people have time? Thank you, Austin. One guy with time. Wow, how do the rest of you guys live your life? Time. Talents. How many people have talents? We all have talents. Treasure. Relationships. They all belong in the bucket. The relationship you have with your spouse, the relationship you have with your parents, the relationship you have with your kids, stewardship, biblical stewardship, it all goes in the bucket. All that stuff belongs to God. Jobs, your job. It's not really your job, it's God's job. It all belongs in the bucket. All your stuff. God has given you all these things. It covers everything. God has given you all these things. You're not the owner. What I want you to see this morning is a steward realizes that all those things belong to God, but I'm the manager. I'm the one God has given to me. I don't act like it's mine, but I really understand that God, You gave me these things for me to manage so that I can manage the things that You have given me. And God is looking for faithful managers. So what I want you to do this morning quickly is we're going to look at your notes. Let's pick up your notes. We're going to look at three principles of being a manager. three principles of being a manager. Let's look at these quickly. The first principle of management, or the first principle of being a manager, is the principle of responsibility. I love the quote someone said, and it's on the screen. It says, owners have rights, stewards have responsibilities. Owners have rights. As a steward, you have responsibility. I want to let you know that each one of us has responsibilities. We all have responsibility over things that God has given us. We all have responsibility of people that God has placed in our lives. We are all responsible for the things that God has called us to manage. Let's start with things. How many people have things? We all have things God has given us to manage. I personally believe, and I got to be careful here, I want to make sure this is all God and no Mike, but I personally believe if you own a car, it's God's car, right? And I think you should take care of God's car. Oh no, he didn't go there. Yes, I did. I think God's car should be the cleanest car on the street. I don't think there should be French fries hanging out underneath the car seat. So it's God's. Take care of it. Be a good steward of your car. Be a good owner of what. Take responsibility. Make it take responsibility. I know some people are like, oh no, it can only get better from that last statement. But how many people know God also caused, if you're in the bucket, you also have responsibility for the people in your life. I thought of it this week. Here's my story. I'm responsible as a steward, as a manager. I'm responsible for Heather. I'm responsible for Grant. I'm responsible for Nolan. I'm actually responsible for all of you. That, my friends, is a weighty responsibility. It's very difficult. But I thought about it this week. I thought about Nolan. Nolan's our second son. He's a junior in high school. And a while back, he came to me and Heather, and he said, Dad, Mom, when I graduate from high school, I want to go into the ministry. And I think many of you would assume that I probably thought, awesome, great. But I want to let you know, when Nolan said, Dad, I want to go into the ministry, I actually was very much the opposite. I was like, Nolan, are you really sure that you want to do this? It's not something you choose. It's something God calls you to do. And he said, Dad, I feel like God's called me to do this. And I've been battling with it. To be honest with you, I don't want him to go into ministry. Because Samuel Chan, he wrote a book called Leadership Pain. And in the book Leadership Pain, he said the four most difficult jobs in America, number one is the president of the United States. Number two was a university president. And number three was a CEO of a hospital. And guess what number four was? A pastor. Most painful jobs, difficult. Why? Because we deal with volunteers. You chose today to volunteer to come to church. That doesn't always happen. You choose if you're going to give in the offering. You choose if you're going to be involved. So when Nolan says, Dad, I want to go in the ministry, I'm like, don't do it to yourself. It's painful. It hurts. It's not easy. But I feel like God's just speaking to my heart is, hey, Mike, you're not the owner of Nolan. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm not the owner of my son. Who's the owner, everyone? What am I? I'm a steward, man. I'm a manager. I'm just trying to, hey, God, you've given me Nolan and Grant. I just want to try to help them along. I want to offer them biblical counsel when they'll take it. I want to offer them practical counsel, common sense. But God, ultimately, when it's all said and done, God, you own Nolan. You own Nolan. I don't. Why, God, you're the owner. I'm the manager. And God, I'm going to be responsible. Just like each and every one of us here today, you're responsible for the things that God has given you. Things and people. Parents, you're responsible for your children. Spouses, you're responsible for one another. Stewardship, it all belongs to God, but you're responsible. Has everybody got that so we can move on? Everybody say responsible. Whoa. Second principle I want to talk about is the principle of accountability. Accountability. Accountability means that there's going to be a day coming that the owner is going to come back. And you can read about this. Look at the scripture reference, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. We don't have the time to read it. You read it this week. It's a parable about Jesus gave one guy one bag of silver, another guy two bags of silver, another guy five bags of silver, and then he left. The guy with five doubled his investment. The guy with two doubled his investment. The guy with one did what? He buried it. Guess what? The owner came back. He was ready to settle accounts. There's a time of accountability. And I know for us, we think, well, that's so far off. I just can't imagine that's good. But there's going to be a day when the owner, God, is going to hold you, me, us, accountable for the things, for the people that he's given us to manage. Can anybody say, wow, that's big time. That's big time. We're going to be accountable. So we just can't live our lives, case around, surround, whatever will be, it feels. No, we need to make sure we're ready. We're responsible because we're going to be accountable. Then the third and final principle is the principle of reward. Reward. In the same story in Matthew 25, it talks about the guy that took five and doubled it, the guy that took two and doubled it. What were the words of the master? Let's look at the words, the response. It's on the screen here. The master's, okay, let's go to the next slide. The master said this. Let me read it for you. It says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. And check out what he says. There's going to be an award. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. There's going to be a day where we're going to receive a reward for what we did with what God gave us. And that is the slide. The ultimate goal should be this. We should be living our lives for these words. We should be living for the well done. We should be living for the hear God say, you know what? I entrusted you with talents. I entrusted you with gifts. I entrusted you with kids. I entrusted you with a spouse. I entrusted you with leadership. I entrusted you with knowledge. I trusted you with responsibility. And God's going to come back someday, and he's going to award people according to what they did. And I just want us to be aware of that. We need to be good stewards, because stewardship is much, much more than just, hey, let's throw a few dollars in the offering plate. Stewardship, God is saying, hey, you're mine now. You're mine. And I want you completely. See, some of us, this is how we're living. I got one foot in the bucket. One foot in the bucket. I'll put my foot in the bucket Sunday morning. No. Stewardship, and I'm speaking to myself as well as to all of us this morning. God doesn't want me just to have one foot in the bucket. He doesn't want just my money. And I do tithe. God's been blessed our family big time for doing that. But I want to let you know, God wants all of you. He wants all of you. And I want to let you know, you're saying, well, Mike, you're a pastor. Yeah, God wants all of you. You better give God. You better, man, you dirty dog. But I want to let you know, the same thing is true of all of us. God wants all of us to be all in. All in. So let me ask you this question in closing. All these questions go together. Are you living biblically? Meaning, as a manager, are you all in? Are you all in? Are you all in with your finances, your time, your talents, your knowledge, your power? Are you all in with your kids? Are you all in with your marriage? Stewardship, God says, I want it all because I own it all. So let me ask you this again today. Are you all in? And there's some of you today, I want to let you know, I need to make this very clear. All in means the very first step is you need to say yes to Jesus. You can't be all in until you take that first step. I've said yes to Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Lord of my life. I've said yes, because really, all in, another word could be lordship. He wants it all. So let's get through this silly mentality that this is stewardship. I open up my wallet, and I throw the remainders in my wallet that I have on Sunday, and let's begin to think, God, you want everything. It all belongs to you. I'm the manager. And by the way, we're going to close with three thoughts quickly. They're going to be like 3 seconds. There's benefits for being all in. The bennies are awesome. The benefits are wonderful. I thought of three the last couple hours. First of all, when you're all in, there's peace. How many people know when you're all in, there's God's peace? You're going to have peace that surpasses all understanding. Why? Because you're all in with God. You're at the center of his will. You're all in. There's going to be peace. Number two, there's going to be safety. I want to let you know when you're all in, this is a safe place to be. This is a safe place to be when you're all in. I want to let you know when you're over here out of the bucket, this is not a safe place to be. A safe place to be with God is when you're 100% in. God will take care of you. And the third and final benefit is this. When you're all in the bucket, there's greater usefulness. There's greater usefulness. Meaning when God knows you're serious, when God knows you're all in, he says, you know what? They're all in. I can use them. I can use them in this world to make a difference for me. So I want you to bow your head this morning. I hope you have a new picture of stewardship. I hope you have a new picture of stewardship. I thought about putting the bucket at the end of the aisle here and saying, hey, if you're all in, come and stand in the bucket for a few minutes. But you know what? That would have been cool for some, not so cool for others. But I want to let you know it's bigger than Sunday morning. And I want to let you know I struggle with this just as much as you do. There's times I got 1 foot in, 1 foot out. But my prayer is, God, I want to be all in. I want to be a steward. I want to be a good manager. God, I know it, you own it all, even this body. How I treat this body, what I allow to happen with this body, it's all yours. So let me ask you this question. What's God saying to you this morning? I believe God's speaking to people right now. What's God saying to you? What area is it in your life where you're refusing to put in the bucket? What are you holding on to? What are you refusing to put in the bucket? Is it your job? Is it your marriage? Is it the children that God has given you for this time? Or is it your talent? Are you using your talent for you, or are you using it for God? Is there something today that you're refusing to give all in, all in, all in? Everything, God. What's God saying? So, Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the time that we could spend in your word this morning. And, Father, I just pray, God, that this sermon would speak beyond the time frame of this morning. And, God, I just pray, God, that this visual illustration will stick out in people's minds. And when they think of the big bucket, they'll think of, God, have I given you back? Have I given you everything? Have I come to that point of confessing, God, that you own it all? You own it all. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I struggle with this, don't you? Does anybody else struggle with this, being all in? I know I do. But I tell you what, I got it right once recently, and it was really cool. We had one of our UWRF basketball players. His parents were coming into town, and on their way here, their car broke down. Their car broke down. So I'm sitting in church on Saturday night, and they text me. Like, what am I going to do? Like, are you kidding me? I'm in church. Okay. So, well, anyway, I couldn't return the call, but finally they got into town. And what happened is on the way here, their truck broke down. Their truck broke down. They got it towed into River Falls. They got it towed to a place where they could get it fixed. Well, at that time, and it's not the case any longer, we had three cars. Something's happened since then, but we had three vehicles, and we only had a couple drivers. And I really felt like God saying, you know what? That family's going to need a car to get back home while their car's getting fixed, and they were going to come the following week and pick up their car. And I felt like God saying, hey, it's not your car, Bubba. It's my car. So I called him, and I said, hey, I got a deal for you. I got a car that you can use this week. I've never done anything like that before. It felt so good. Something happened in my mind that I realized, you know what? This isn't my car. God, I'm a manager of the car. It's your car. Somebody else is in need of the car. And it was such a blessing to them. And not only was it a blessing to them, it was such a blessing to me. It felt so good to be able to help out somebody with something that God just said, hey, it's not yours, it's mine. Let them use it. And see, that's what God wants to do throughout this congregation, throughout your life. He wants to say, hey, these things aren't yours, but they're mine. Be a good manager. Use it well. But if somebody else needs it, let's give it up. Amen? So I just want to encourage you today. Remember, God owns how much? 10%, somebody said. Nick said 10%. Did you? He said everything, okay? I just misheard him, okay? Everything. It's all his. Your house, your cars, your kids, it all belongs to God. Let's go out there and use it for his glory. Amen?